fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, and good morning to you. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to continue to look at this theme from this Pentecost season. We're just a week and a half away, a little more than a week and a half away from the celebration of Pentecost. And it's been wonderful to walk in each of these days in this great season between the passion and death of our Lord Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, and moving toward the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in action by Jesus. And began to talk yesterday about how St. Peter interpreted the experience of the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the beginning of the life of the church, when Jesus fulfilled the promise, the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is what? That he will pour out his Holy Spirit. I quoted yesterday, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, St. Peter standing up in the midst of the experience of having been touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit, been filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire had set upon the apostles, and as Pope John Paul II put it, stirred the deepest energies of the apostles and thrust them into the marketplace to go forward to proclaim the truth, the good news, the word of God, what God had done in his Son Jesus Christ and what he's doing right then, right there on the spot. He explained to everyone in these words. It said, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. He said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. And my prayer in this season is that we could all take in Peter's words and we can open our ears and the words he's speaking to us. Let it be known to you. Give ear to the words that I now speak, St. Peter is saying to us. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Here's what I talked about yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. You can listen to them on the computer, download them, put them on your iPod. Listen when it's convenient. But this is something that people often miss and don't think about because the readings don't always include this. At Mass on Sunday, and that's the only time some people actually hear these readings. They don't read the scripture much themselves. And so here's what he's saying. Peter's saying, look, obviously something's happening to us, and you can see it, and you can touch it. What is happening? Peter said, one of our prophets, the prophet Joel, spoke about this very day and what's happening to us right now. He said, this is what he said. In the last days it shall be, God declares. First of all, Peter's making it clear. We're living now because of this event, because of what Christ's coming is all about in his passion, death, and resurrection. We're living in the last days. The Catechism talks about the final hour of human history. The final chapter, we don't know how long that chapter is, but the final chapter of human history is the time between the two comings of Jesus. He came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin. And he rose from the dead, and we know he's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He came the first time as a lamb. The last time he's coming as a judge. He's going to bring to completion the Father's plan. So these are the last days. And what's the Father's plan for the last days? He goes on. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why does the church exist in the world? To be a conduit of this fundamental reality. To be a source of grace for the world. That is what? To help people open their hearts to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their lives. For a personal Pentecost. For a transformation of their lives. For conversion. And surrender their life to Christ and becoming a son or daughter of God. Unless you're born again, Jesus said, by water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come in his own words. He said he's come to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Peter's saying, look, what's happening to us, friends, this is the fulfillment of it all. He's alive. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and he's baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. Which is exactly what he explains later. He'll go on, he quotes the prophet Joel And he said, Joel prophesied the coming of this day, and it's happening right before your eyes. Why is it happening now? Is the next question. Peter goes on to say, then he takes the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, and he was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Death could not hold Jesus down. There was a life and a power in Jesus that swallowed up death in victory. So Peter's declaring, how is it possible that Joel's prophecy could be fulfilled now? Because God's Messiah has come. Messiah means anointed. It means anointed with what? The one filled with the Holy Spirit has come to us. And he's broken the power of sin and death. And he's risen from the dead. So Peter proclaims the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and declares it as a fact, as a truth, which they are witnesses of. He'll say in verse 32, the same chapter, he said, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, who's he talking about? Jesus, who was raised up, is exalted at the right hand of God. This is the most important fact. Christ is alive. The new creation has begun in Jesus, and he's now one of us, the new head of this new race of people that are born of the Spirit, is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. That means all power, all authority, divinity itself is in the person of Jesus Christ. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Father destined the Son, his beloved Son, to become one of us, to save us through his passion, death, and resurrection, and from his position of reigning and ruling over all of his creation. God has decided to bring us from death to life, from darkness to light, through the gift of the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he said, he, that is Jesus, this is Peter proclaiming, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. Peter is saying, what you're seeing, this gift of the Spirit, it comes from Jesus. It's not just a vague force. It's not something we're conjuring up, not something we're creating. We're simply commanded by Jesus to wait for the promise. He told us, Peter would say, at another point, he told us he would clothe us with power when the Holy Spirit came upon us so that we could come and tell you and to share with you that God has begun the new creation, that the new humanity has begun, that the final stage of history is upon us, the last hour, and it leads to eternity if we're born again in Christ. If we receive what Jesus wants to pour out on us for the salvation of the world, he's fulfilling God the Father's plan and purpose for him and for all of us. I'll just read it again, just those few verses. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. It's the fulfillment of the prophets. It's the fulfillment of the promises of David, the life of King David. And he'll say this, Peter then says in verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Peter's stating a fact. Why has the prophetic word of Joel been fulfilled? Why is it being fulfilled on that day? Why is it the last days as Peter proclaims it? Because Jesus Christ is enthroned at the right hand of God the Father, and all power and authority is his. And the last hour of human history, these last days of the human race, however long they're going to be, these are days of salvation. These are the days when the King is at the right hand of the Father and he's pouring out his Holy Spirit through his church for the salvation of the world. God, before the close of history, God has come to save us. He's come to save us by giving us a share in his life, making us something we cannot make ourselves. We cannot produce. The good news is we have hope beyond the close of the age. Eternity stands before us, but it stands before us because the eternal Son of God has passed from death to life, because he's passed through to eternity. He's brought with him in his body the flesh that we bear, friends, and he's carried it with him. It's in him. He's become one of us so he could save us. And salvation comes by receiving this and acknowledging that God has made this one, this Jesus, Lord and Savior, Messiah, the one filled with the Spirit. So when Peter was proclaiming this, this is a fact. He's simply interpreting reality. He's interpreting facts of God's action. He's pointing, he's saying, see this, this is God. And this is the meaning of what God is doing. God is pouring out his Spirit to save. Now pay attention. And so people said, what do we do? They were struck to the heart by the message. And maybe today you're struck by the heart. And maybe you haven't opened your life fully to Christ. Maybe you haven't opened your heart to the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is stirring you. Pray for it right now. Say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. I open my heart for the fulfillment of the prophet Joel's promise. Lord, you said you wanted to pour out your Spirit on all flesh. Well, here I am, Lord, a sinful man. I repent of my sin, a sinful woman. I repent of my sins. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. And Peter said to them, brethren, they asked him, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. First thing they did was believe, right? That what Peter was saying was true. And they said, well, what do we do? He said, repent. That means change the direction of your life. Acknowledge your lack of God-directedness. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge what Jesus' diagnosis of your life is. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So believe, repent, be baptized. For what reason do we need to be baptized? There in baptism is where we're plunged into the death of Jesus. I don't have time to go to Romans 6 and other places, but fundamentally we die with Christ in baptism. In the waters of baptism, we're united to the death of Jesus that crucifies our flesh and brings us from death to life. So we need the forgiveness of our sins. And he says, being baptized, receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Believe, repent, be baptized, be forgiven, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the heart of Christianity. This is the definition of what it means to become a Christian. This is what it's all about. And that's a life-changing reality. It's not just something in our head, but see what it did for the apostles. It's what it's meant to be for us. The new evangelization is all about communicating again this fundamental basic definition of Christianity, what it is, and calling people to come and receive the outpouring of the Spirit upon their flesh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and save us. Forgive us of our sins. Lead us to everlasting life in Christ. The whole mission of the apostles, friends, and the entire mission of the church is for this purpose. This is what it's all about. We've gotten distracted. We've got to get back to the heart of the matter to engage this mission. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.